The Hard Shoulder with Kieran Cuddihy.
With the MG Hybrid and Electric range.
On News Talk.
I'm joined by Fiona Toomey. Fiona is the CEO of HUG. They're Ireland's national suicide bereavement charity. And she's speaking today at the European Grief Conference. Fiona, thank you very much for speaking to us. And it's good to talk to you again. We'll talk about the conference in just a moment. But for people listening, just tell us a little bit about your daughter, Millie.
Well, Millie sadly died by suicide in 2016 after a very brief time of suicide ideation. And unfortunately, in Millie's case, she didn't get to see any qualified practitioner in time, which could have prevented her death by suicide.
And how then has that experience of kind of a delay in seeing a qualified practitioner led you to kind of where you are today, speaking at this conference and founding HUG?
Well, Millie's death propelled me into a different way of living, I suppose you could say. And for me, the gap was in an area which I now know is called suicide postvention, which I didn't have the words for then. And essentially, it is all of the services that are put in place for people after a bereavement by suicide. And the reason for that is because people who have been impacted by suicide are 10 times more at risk of dying by suicide themselves than the general population. And there was a gap in this area when I was looking for services. And this is an area where there is a very great need to prevent further suicide. So it's an important part of suicide prevention.
And why do you suspect that is? Because it's not unknown that this happens, you know, amongst kind of people working in the area, and they talk about suicide clusters, you know, one happens and then others happen around it. Do you suspect maybe, I don't know, is it the stigma that still is attached to it, that there's maybe a reluctance to deal with it or what?
I think it's all of the above, Ciarán. Unfortunately, stigma does prevail. People who have been bereaved by suicide often are, you know, are self-stigmatized. They feel they can't talk about it, that perhaps other people are looking down upon them or their loved one who has died and making judgment. Then, of course, there's stigma within society. People afraid to actually talk about suicide, afraid perhaps that maybe it will cause further deaths or risk, which we know is not true. If anything, talking about suicide lowers people's risk, and it's a really important part of healing and connecting people.
And, I mean, when you began to learn about it, Fiona, did it resonate with your experience in the wake of Millie's death by suicide, that kind of you had seen the ripples of that affect people in the kind of in the family group and community and friends?
Oh, absolutely. I mean, there is no denying the fact, and it comes from research as well as lived experience, that when people have been impacted by a suicide or even affected by a suicide, because it's not just ripples, it's seismic shock. And it goes straight from the people closest, perhaps by blood relation, to the person who's died. You think of family, friends, colleagues, teammates, workmates. It affects so many people. In fact, we know that there are 60,000 people affected by suicide in Ireland alone every year, each and every year. And that's based on the fact that for every one person who has died, 135 people are affected by that person's death. And that's at a minimum. We know this now from research. So that's why it's so important that there are services in place, both therapeutic and non-therapeutic, that allow people to connect and get the support that fits them and their needs when they need them. And if that's in place, then we are going to lower the risk of further suicides and increase people's coping and people being able to, what they call, integrate their grief. In other words, been able to live with their grief and have a new life and move forward with it.
And how would you then, Fiona, assess the state of those services in the country at the moment?
They are improving, but it is very slow. There is still a huge amount of work that's left to our area, which is called the NGO area, the non-government organisations, that's voluntary groups and charities, really do the heavy lifting in this area. I mean, based on the fact that still the leading cause of death in this country for 15 to 34-year-olds is suicide, is quite shocking. So the whole area of prevention and postvention is essential. I mean, this year alone, the new mental health budget was announced, and a great increase for money towards health, which is fantastic, and mental health. but it's still only 6.6%, 6.6% of the total spend. Whereas we know the WHO recommend that this should be 10%. So we are making progress, but it's slow progress. And when progress is slow, there's gaps.
And where are those gaps most pronounced? I mean, is it the postvention? Is it that picture that you talk about? Is it the early intervention? Is it just the CAMHS or the mental health services more generally in terms of providing services to people who are going through kind of suicidal ideation? Like, where are the bigger problems?
Well, I think it's all the way down. I mean, I'm no expert in all of these areas, so I can only speak to the area that I work in, but certainly speaking to peers right across the sector, early intervention, of course, is best. The earlier you can get somebody to help and they can receive help or therapy, then you're going to lessen their symptoms and you're going to bring people to mental well-being and wellness. So the earlier people can get help, the better. You don't want it to turn into a crisis situation. So, you know, all of the services right across the sector need to be fully funded. Unfortunately, they are not fully funded, which is where you see waiting lists and where you see problems and where people cannot access timely support. That's when problems arise.
And are there kind of market leaders is the one way to describe this, because it sounds like I'm talking about a business. But are there examples within Europe? Because I know this is because European Grievance Conference is happening today, that you would look at and say, they've gotten it right. That country does it right. They've got the services in place. Let's ape them.
I think there's pockets of excellence, you know, in various different countries right across the English-speaking world. I mean, the conference I'm at today, the European Grief Conference, it's a fantastic conference to have here in Ireland, and it's bringing together academics, practitioners, charities, advocates, all working in this area to see how can we better support people in grief. And when we come to services, there are excellent services in Denmark, for instance, and a few of our colleagues in Sweden. But it's also about the spend and joined up thinking, which is no great surprise. You know, when you have the services talking to one another, where you have the services that are, you know, implemented right across the sector, then you have a sector that works very well. So, you know, next door in the UK, their spend, you know, on mental health is much higher than ours. So they have got pockets of excellence, you know, and we have others. So it really depends. It's not all about spending. You know, it is also about, you know, how the services integrate and talk to one another.
Is there a frustration that spending is where it is, given the amount of money the government has at its disposal and has had in recent years? You know, we're not back in kind of, you know, 9, 10, 11, when we had kind of on board SNP-NUA and the government was looking for savings to be made across the board. They have so much money, they're putting it into kind of several different rainy day funds.
Mm-hmm. I think that, you know, one of the difficulties is understanding, you know, where the budgets are spent and ring fencing it, actually getting a breakdown of how much money is spent in a particular area. I mean, you know, how much money is actually spent in suicide prevention? You know, there is an Office for Suicide Prevention who get a budget, which is a tiny proportion of the overall mental health budget. And we know suicide prevention is a whole of society, you know, problem. Everybody is part of it. But I think, you know, if we take a small part of it, you know, the area that I work in, it's predominantly done by the voluntary sector. You know, knowing where to point people for support, you know, is difficult. Trying to find people who actually have an understanding of, say, suicide bereavement, training in it, and who can provide services to people, both people who can afford it and people who can't afford it. There should be no wrong door. And that's very difficult still, having places for people to go.
And can I ask you, Fiona, then, before I let you go, because as you say, this European Grief Conference is on and you're speaking at it, and I know a busy agenda there today. But, you know, to go back to the experience at Millie again of not having that intervention in a timely manner, how frustrating is it when you hear stories, be it on kind of on this show or other radio shows, or you read them in the newspaper, of the same thing still happening today, kind of 8 years on from Millie's death? You know, people waiting an inordinate amount of time for intervention.
It's heartbreaking. You know, it's utterly heartbreaking. There are some excellent people working within the services, and I'm sure it's utterly frustrating for them also. But, you know, if the government, whichever government comes into power next, ensures that the 49 recommendations that were made by the Mental Health Commission when they reviewed the CAMHS service, if they implement and ensure those 49 recommendations are implemented, will go a long way to resolving some of the problems within CAMHS. You know, we get great reviews that are done, independent reviews that are done, but let's go and make sure that the recommendations are actually implemented, and that will make a difference.
Fiona, thank you so much for speaking to us.
Thank you so much, Ciarán.
The Hard Shoulder with Ciarán Cuddihy.
With the MG Hybrid and Electric range.
Weekdays from 4 on News Talk.